Romans chapter 8, verse 28, very well known verse, 28 to 30 I'd like to read. Romans 8, 28, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Now you'll notice that twice the word called is mentioned. The Young's Concordance says, simply gives it the meaning of invited. That's lovely, isn't it? Invited. So if we use the word invited, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. It's invited to be saints, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, invited to be saints, called to be saints. What a tremendous invitation that is. An invitation which I hope we have all responded to this morning. And so that's the first thought. We are invited to be saints. And of course, a saint is not someone who's been dead for several hundred years and is suddenly recognised by the hierarchy of some big church. A saint is one who belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, one who is a believer in the Lord Jesus, one who is set apart. The word sanctified means set apart. Sanctified by the precious blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for us, and also by the indwelling Holy Spirit, because when we receive the Lord Jesus as our Saviour, we are set apart to him, and we are one of God's men and women. That's a beautiful thought. So there we are called to be saints, but over here in Romans, it says that we are called according to his purpose. And as I think of that purpose, I think of the eternal purpose of God. Those who are called according to his purpose. What a tremendous thing it is to have an understanding that God has not only a purpose in time for us, but a purpose in eternity. Now let's go back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. And there are two aspects of this great calling. We have in Matthew chapter 16 and chapter 18 the first and the second mention of the word church. And if you notice in chapter 18, verse 17, it mentions for the second time the Lord mentions the word church, and the word church means a called out company, called out to the Lord Jesus Christ, called out of this world, belonging to him. So here's part of that great calling. I think chapter 16 really directs us to the eternal purposes and calling of God. The church, which is the overall church made up of all those who receive Christ as their Saviour, from the Pentecost, which is the birthday of the church, we read about that in Acts chapter 2, right through to when the Lord Jesus returns. There we have the church, which is his body, or it's described as a building. That's chapter 16. But in chapter 18, we have the local aspect of the church. And we find here it's used in that sense. And so I think now of the practical purposes of God in this calling. As we are called or invited to receive Christ as our Saviour, and then in this life here below there is a practical calling really to be saints. You know, a saint is not somebody that's got a halo around their head and is absolutely perfect. I don't know if you heard about the lady who said, "I've arrived." And somebody else said, "Lord, give her a pair of wings that she might fly away." She had arrived. At least she thought she had arrived. Well, I haven't arrived yet. And you remember the Apostle Paul also could say, "Not as if I have attained, not as if I have arrived." And so in this life we won't arrive unto perfection, but we are called to follow after perfection. We may fall short of the mark, but we are called to aim at that mark. And so in chapter 18 we have some very, very practical things. Perhaps this evening we'll look at the eternal calling. our eternal calling in the Lord Jesus Christ. But this morning I want to look at some of the practical things. You know, a very practical thing, it's been said, it's where the rubber hits the road. And that's where we are day by day in our life, isn't it? It's where we're really at. And we are called to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, and we are called to follow him day by day. Remember how the Lord Jesus often said, follow me. He called Peter and Andrew, and then he called James and John, and later on he called Matthew, and he kept repeating this phrase, follow me. And in Matthew chapter 11, the Lord gave that very broad invitation where he said, come unto me. Isn't that a call? That's a calling, isn't it? Come unto me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now there's that calling again. The Lord is calling. Come unto me. That's a tremendous call, isn't it? The invitation is very personal. The Lord speaks to us individually. He speaks to us personally. He calls us within our innermost being, within our heart. He calls us to follow him. Now in chapter 18 of Matthew, we'll turn to that now, we have a number of points. And as I said, this I believe refers to the local church. You'll notice the outworking of that calling, firstly in the Great Commission, the Lord instructed his disciples to go into to make disciples among all the nations and to baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. We'll find that in the book of Acts we have the practical outworking of the Lord's commission to his disciples, to his apostles, firstly, and of course to us today who are believers in him, to carry out in a practical way this great and wonderful calling. And so in Acts chapter 2 we find the church formed, and we read those wonderful words where those that gladly received his word were baptized. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that is, in the apostles' teaching, in the fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. That's part of this calling. God is calling us. As I move around more and more, I find people who are not meeting anywhere. And I think there's a real challenge to me personally to fulfill this aspect of God's calling upon my life. You know, it's easy perhaps to drop out sometimes, isn't it? Well, it seems easy. But is it God's purpose and is it God's calling for us to drop out? I don't believe it is. I believe God's purpose and God's calling for us is to receive Christ as our Saviour and then to be involved locally with his people in the local church. And so let's have a look at this now. Let's read, we'll just take it in little sections. Let's begin at verse 1. At that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such little child like this in my name receives me. Now you'll notice firstly the first thing that we have here is life. We might say, well, what makes up the church, and especially the local church? Well, it's those who are converted. Notice that little word there, children. And as I think of that, it's lovely to have little ones coming to the Lord, and I've seen some little children coming to the Lord over the years, but I've also seen some older people coming to the Lord, sometimes in their 70s and 80s. And really, when we accept the Lord as our Saviour, we come as a little child, whether we're 5 years old or whether we're 85 years old. An old man once was asked, would you like to receive the Lord as your Saviour? And he said, I would. And he said, but I don't know how to. Well, he said, you just pray and ask the Lord Jesus into your life. He said, I don't know how to pray. Well, he said, the preacher said, did your mother teach you a little prayer? And he said, yes, she did. And so he prayed that little prayer. gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child. Suffer my simplicity and let me come to thee. Something to that effect. And that old man, as a little child, came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how we have to come. And so the Lord Jesus took a little child and set this child in the midst of them. And you know, when I think of the local church, the thing that really marks it out is that Christ is in the midst. Notice verse 20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name," the Lord Jesus said, "I am there in the midst of them." Isn't it tremendous to have the Lord Jesus in the midst? And the only time that the Lord Jesus is not in the midst is when there was a child in the midst. We find that here in Matthew 18 verse 2, a child was in the midst. In Matthew 18 verse 20, the Lord Jesus is seen in the midst. In John chapter 19 verse 18, the Lord Jesus is again in the midst, in the midst of crucifixion. There were the two thieves, one on either side, and Jesus in the midst. He was in the centre of that terrible scene as he was dying there for you and for me. And then later on in the book of Revelation, he is seen as a lamb as it had been slain in the midst of the throne. And in the our Lord Jesus Christ is now glorified, and in heaven he is in the midst. He is the centre of the worship and the praise and the adoration in heaven. And he should be the centre of our worship and adoration here on earth as we gather together week by week. To me, it's a wonderful thing to meet with God's people and to have the opportunity week by week to remember our Lord as he has requested us to do. Isn't that love's entreaty? "This do in remembrance of me," as the Lord gathered those few disciples around himself on the night in which he was betrayed, and he took the bread and he broke it and he passed it to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup and he passed it to them, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do in remembrance of me." I think that's love's entreaty. And if we love the Lord Jesus Christ, the desire of our heart too would be to remember him with his people, with the Lord Jesus himself in the midst. So remember that as we come together, and it's lovely to meet with Christians who week by week gather in his name and remember him according to his word by taking the bread and taking the cup and remembering him in his death till he comes. And so as we remember him, there's a backward glance to Calvary and there's a forward glance to that time when the Lord Jesus returns again. So in the practical sense, these are things that the Lord is calling us to do. And those early Christians, they understood that. Those that gladly received his word were baptized. That's a practical thing to do, isn't it? Baptism sets forth our relationship with the Lord in the eternal sense. It speaks in the eternal purposes of God. Baptism is setting forth as an outward thing what has actually taken place in our life, an eternal relationship that has been established with the Lord. We have responded to that divine call. We have accepted the Lord Jesus as the blessedness of our Lord Jesus Christ be.